When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
Oh, God, it's under my fingernail. Oh, that sucked.
This is brutal.
The podcast where comedians drink beer and talk about crazy conspiracies. And this week, we're going to talk about the scariest thing in Utah.
Oh.
Something we've talked about, some new evidence just came out, and it's time to really dig.
Okay.
Because something's going on.
Okay. Is it the Mormon Church?
No. That's not.
Okay, good. It's going to be a long episode then. I was like, because I know nothing about it, and I don't want to get sued.
No, they come out. No, it's the other ones. What is the one? They're not even close to being the same. But
the Latter-day Saints?
No, the one in Florida that Clearwater.
Oh, Scientology.
They come out.
Yeah, you. Yeah. They got the Gopher Squad.
That's right. They actually... Let me bring in our guest. because if you're not a patron, you should join us.
Yeah, also check us out on Rockfin. Yeah. Rockfin, because you get a bunch of content to a lot of people
For
$10 a month.
$10 a month, you can join us on Rockfin. Then you get a lot of people, but us too.
Yeah, four extra episodes a month, back catalog.
And we got a new series coming out, stuff that you guys patrons will get, so it's fun.
Yeah.
And on that note, I need to bring in a good friend, a comedian, Ryan Irwin, welcome to the pod.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hello.
And Ryan, you live in Raleigh, North Carolina now. Well, I guess a suburb of Raleigh, North Carolina. We all call it Raleigh, though.
I actually live in Raleigh, but you do. Nice. I'm moving to Apex.
You're moving. Okay, that's okay. You're moving to Apex, which is a suburb.
The top of culture in North Carolina.
It's a peak.
It's peak of good living. That's what it was. Yeah, I tried to rewrite their slogan.
And but you also tour quite a bit, nationally.
Yes.
But you were born in Utah.
Brigham City.
Brigham City.
Hoorah.
Oh, nice.
Named after a former prophet.
Are you a Utahn?
A Utahn. That's what we call ourselves.
I did not. I had to look it up. I did not. I was trying to think if it was like Ute, but that's like
Utahn or blessed or chosen that's what we go after.
Perfect.
That is, right. It's a beautiful place, Utah.
Oh, I love my hometown.
It's gorgeous.
Where is your hometown?
It's about an hour north of Salt Lake.
Okay.
It's just right nestled up in the mountains. There's a canyon that leads up to Logan where Utah State University is.
Well, nice. Then you're probably going to know a lot. Well, at least you're going to know something about what we're talking today, which I'm really excited.
I am like a tour guide for my hometown. Okay. I know every random obscure fact about my hometown. So if this is near my hometown, this is my brotherhood.
Oh, man. Well, I guess we'll find out in a minute when we get there. But we're going to start. I'm going to show you guys a video clip. And Shane, I've watched it a million times at this point. What you're seeing is a video that just got put out on a subreddit like yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So it's really new. And the backstory is this, is that a guy says, my girlfriend just sent me this, and it's a video of a picture, but it's like one of those iPhone pictures.
Live photo.
Yeah, like a live of like six kids, teens, I don't know, in the desert. And one doesn't like to be photographed. So his hand's kind of like, I don't want to be photographed.
Okay. They're like camping or something?
Yeah, they're probably camping.
Okay,
And it's dark. Okay, so you guys can see this, right? Now, what you want to watch.
Check out that fingernail.
She needs.
It's like a hat on the fingernail.
We need to do a GoFundMe to get her a manicure.
For sure.
So watch in this bottom corner behind the kid who doesn't want his. Okay.
Oh no. Absolutely not.
Yeah, so this is
this is why I don't go camping.
This is like a
no ma'am.
A white shadowy figure emerging out of the behind the kid with his hand up.
It looks like a wolf or something.
It looks like a emaciated something, but you can see a limb kind of
It's like the story of like the children who are raised by wolves, where they like imbued upon the like wolf characteristics and they walk and like that's what that seems like, but also spirit and demonic.
The chatter on this has been it's either a brilliant hoax, like a brilliant one, mm-hmm. because people that sort of like, I kind of do this for a living, it's been enhanced and blown up. And mm-hmm. they're like, if this is somebody faking this, it's an incredible fake.
Right.
So that leans it to like, well, then maybe it's real. And if it's real, what is that thing? Mm-hmm. And how did it get captured on film? And that's where like, I didn't know that do you guys know the iPhone, the newest iPhones, 12, 13, that in their camera, they now use LiDAR technology.
Oh, nice.
I have no idea what that means.
Okay, that's perfect, because I think a lot of people don't. LiDAR is a technology system that they use in like self-driving cars. Video game systems use it. It essentially shoots light, like thousands and thousands of beams of light out, and it bounces back, and it uses that to measure distances, and then it does it at such a fine degree that it can paint a picture of it can map out your entire body as you move through space, or a car can immediately map an intersection. That's how like Tesla's when a deer runs in front and it diverts, it's using LiDAR technology.
Okay, so it's like the measure this app.
Yes, basically.
Or
with three-dimensional objects.
Yes, yeah. That's
or right. To make it more of a Spencer's gift analogy, one of those things with the nails in it, needles, you press your face in it. Yeah. It's that, but with lasers instead.
With lasers.
Nails.
Yeah. And so what the camera uses it at night. And so what people think is they're like, here's what happened. Those things are probably happening all the time, but at that precise moment, the LiDAR picked up and bounced back, and it sort of mapped the shape, but there was also like nothing there. So like it's simply the LiDAR picked up, it bounced back.
Okay, my question with that is if the LiDAR picked that up, why was it moving away?
Well,
like it seems like the flash would have startled it, but if it's not seen... Like that's where
I think the movement in the picture is a little bit misleading, because you know, it's one of those like loop photos.
Yeah. I don't
know.
Boomerang.
So it's just like that. So yeah. Just
like every comedian puts on there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's like, is that just, they just take like three fit photos?
I think,
really
quick? I think they take several, cause you can break them out and
yeah. So I think that's all it is. So it's just like, so it's like a,
it's bullet time.
What were those things we played with when we were...
Kaleidoscope.
Yes, it's like a kaleidoscope.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's just...
I was going to say viewfinder.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. No, kaleidoscope is the color.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're right. Viewfinder.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. You were right.
Okay.
But we both were like, yeah.
I'm very convincing.
Yes, I am. This is how the whatchamacallit happens, the Mandela effect happens,
oh, yeah, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, the idea is that, like... In that still shot, that thing was moving from picture one to two to three. Mm. So you're just seeing it, and each time it's bouncing, and LiDAR is mapping it as if it's moving in the background, just like a hand.
Right.
And some people have said, look, we now live in a world where everybody has not only a camera, but a pretty dang advanced camera around them at all times. We also live in a world where there's lots more surveillance cameras, and people just have their dashboard cameras going. And not only that, not only can you take a photo in a second, you can see that something's anomalous. You know, a lot of times it used to be like you would get photos back from the developer and you'd be like, oh, that's weird. Mm-hmm. But those photos get lost. And nowadays, like, photos can be uploaded immediately. I mean, this person got this photo and immediately uploaded to a Reddit. And then within an hour, it's been uploaded to a million different places. What I mean is it's less chance of spoilation of evidence in a way, because like everything can be uploaded so quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still hung up on how we captured this thing, because if the camera can catch it via LiDAR technology,
yes,
does that mean Tesla's run over these creatures all the time and doesn't notify us? Or does Tesla, every time it shifts, it's because one of those creatures are on the road?
Oh, right. That's when they crash.
It very well might. And it's funny you say that, because
what is Elon not telling us?
I hadn't thought of that.
Told us these things.
But when we get to the end of this, I think I will come back to Elon Musk, because that is a really interesting theory that fits really well into this.
Perfect.
Okay.
So
you're a natural.
I think that
everything I do.
The thing about people just say, look, eventually this is just gonna be commonplace. Like, if something is real, we're eventually going to find it on camera, because we're just filming everything constantly.
Yeah.
And that, and other people pointed out, well, yeah, this looks like a lot of things that have popped up on camera, and you can Google these, and it's just these weird shadowy white creatures that show up on traffic cams and door cams mm-hmm. and things, and they move in weird ways. They all seem like emaciated hybrid human wolves, and people think that what these are relate to the scariest thing in Utah, which is the skinwalkers.
Oh, I was going to say non-Mormons.
they are right.
Lay people?
Now, were you raised Mormon?
Yep. I went on a Mormon mission out to Uruguay, donde aprendí español.
Oh, nice.
But I left when I was 22.
What's the telltale sign when you meet somebody, aside from the fact like I'm drinking alcohol or something? Like, is there like when you see somebody, you're like, they're not Mormon, I can tell you why?
Oh, I don't know. I,
because when I went to Utah, they knew I wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a hard question. I can usually go, I assume they're a Mormon, but I'm a really bad judge of character. I have the world's worst gaydar. Like I usually go, I like that person, or I don't.
Which way does your gaydar malfunction?
Oh, in all the wrong ways. Yeah. I fall in love with straight men so easy, and that's how I can tell someone's straight, is if I have a crush on them, they are not. They are not interested in me.
And then you, but it also works the other way, where people you think are gay.
Oh no! Straight. I just sometimes when I see someone, I'm like, look what a great ally, and I was like, they're clearly gay, right? So no, I don't know how to answer that question. I was trying to think. I'm like, is it like? No, I can't.
That's a tough question. I realize that's a tough.
So no, it's fine. I hadn't ever considered it.
Yeah, we usually we try to be like Oprah and have our guests crying by the end of this. We start out fun and conspiracy like.
The trauma I'm experiencing is validated.
Yeah, well, and it's caused by skinwalkers.
I do not know what a skinwalker.
Okay,
is.
Well then
that's probably good.
Something to add to your tour of your town is that it's a term that derives from the Navajo people, which of course. We're most populated in northern Utah and parts of New Mexico and just sort of right around the Four Corners. Mm-hmm. And they had a folkloric concept of what was called a skinwalker. They had a name for it. Mm-hmm. Their idea was that skinwalkers were wizards gone bad, like rogue, who had somehow messed with the physical reality of the world. And so they gained tremendous power. Mm. Power to shape shift, power to possess animals, powers to possess people. They were sort of spirits, but at a terrible cost because they had to keep doing evil things to maintain this.
Wizards as in like
shamans? Like
shaman in their culture?
Yeah, or shaman just
like
in culture.
Wizards as like commonly. So it's like people from like their tribe who had meddled in the dark arts.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I just wanted to make sure I was understanding the term wizard.
I will say that I had never bumped across this, but the Harry Potter series, mm-hmm. there are some Native Americans who are saying there's a lot of cultural appropriation going on.
Wow.
Some of her stories are just directly taken from Navajo, like folklore.
Wow.
But in this case, because it does sound very like, you know, Voldemort, right? Mm-hmm. Like you gotta like, which people are like, yeah, that's what
Death Eaters, Dementors.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you use evil magic, and there's now some Navajo say that where these things started was whoever built the world used these things. And then some of them got trapped on this plane of existence.
Oh, bummer.
And that's what they are.
So wait, they used the dark arts or did they use the skinwalkers?
They were helpers. They're sort of more like trapped demons. They belong in a different plane of existence, but they're here.
Right. Slight tangent, but related. So is this like the evil creatures on the Marvel movie Eternals that were sent there
I was watching that, I was like, oh, this is basically every conspiracy we've ever talked about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, they were sent to create energy to harvest the plant.
Yep. Which is a crazy conspiracy that we've talked about that's outside of Marvel. It's crazy. These are all like crazy things.
That's just where my brain went.
Spot on for sure.
I should pause and apologies to both of you. One of the very foundational tenets that Native Americans held to with skinwalkers is you, the one thing you absolutely do not do is talk about.
Oh, it's like Fight Club.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, it's like
you just cursed them. Yeah,
it summons them. Apparently.
And this is after I said I heard noises in my house.
Yeah, right.
Same. Like the last two, I live alone, and I always feel like there's like a flash of light that like
any kind of wind blow by your ear or anything. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah, that happened to me 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm so glad I'm on this podcast. And it's raining right now, so
you can take the spirits.
It's really a gothic moment we're having.
We need to light some candles.
Well, they say, the people that have seen them, that it looks like a horrific man, like the body of an animal, but the marred face of like a beaten man, run down. They walk more like a crawl, kind of scuttle on four legs. They can actually move quite fast that way. And they speak in a crazy language, but it's definitely like,
oh, there's an audible language.
Yes, there's people say that like it has this sat, like it sounds like a foreign language, but it's clearly like a language. It's not just like,
can you learn this on one of those apps?
No,
Duolingo bird. Where are you?
Exactly. Where are you?
Wait. No. So are these creatures like three-dimensional that can interact with us, or are they like vague spirits that are ethereal?
I the ones that I've seen on video, the video that's most compelling is that they exist in this physical world, meaning they jump on fences and they land and like so they are definitely interacting with our world, but they're also like they're always a shadowy white sort of thing.
So they exist in like a fifth dimension.
Yeah.
Some kind of dimension. That's sort of what we're going to talk about, because where these things have been studied the most is probably really close to your hometown. I don't know which your hometown?
Brigham City.
How far is that from Ballard?
Ballard. I've legit never heard of that
man.
Place.
Oh, wow.
Well,
man, I hope this doesn't unravel its entire story. No,
it's in the northwest of Utah.
Oh, so it exists.
Oh, so it's near Grouse Creek. Let's see. That's where my grandpa was raised.
That doesn't even sound like a real
out
place.
By Snowville?
We're all getting our.
I know. Is it out by Snowville?
I'm looking up Ballard. That's in Seattle, Washington. Is there?
You would think.
Weird.
That
Ballard, Utah.
You would think I would have looked at this.
Oh, it's not in north. It's in northeastern Utah. It's by Vernal and Roosevelt, just south of the Uintas.
Yes, the Uintas. Yeah, the Uinta Valley.
So this is very Navajo land.
Okay.
Okay.
I should have known that, right?
I live in the northwest part of the country.
So you live in the northwest. Like, so what was that? Well, how many? It's such a big state. Is that 4, 6 hours, 8 hours?
No, that's probably maybe a 4 hour drive.
Okay. So it's like a.
Maybe five.
Okay.
And probably four.
That ranch is home to. That town area is home to a 500 plus acre ranch that was once called Sherman Ranch. Mm-hmm. But has since 1996 been called Skinwalker.
That's a bad rebrand.
That's like just using Navajo.
They're like, hey, we told you not to say it, and you went and named the whole. Well, it was purchased by billionaire Vegas. Obviously. Yes, mm-hmm. Here's what's crazy. It was purchased by this Vegas billionaire named Robert Bigelow, who was a UFO enthusiast, paranormal guy. He bought that thing. Tell me if you think this is cheap. 1996, $200,000 for 500 acres.
Absolutely.
That sounds so really cheap.
I have no concept of money. I am so in debt, and I'm in my 30s. So, like, that does sound like a lot of money to me.
Well, I don't know if he was a billionaire in 96.
He was because he made his fortune on motels.
That's right. In Vegas.
The motel heyday.
Yeah. Yep. Well, he bought it from the original owner, Terry Sherman, who was quick to unload it. He was just, I can't live here anymore. It had been the site of numerous paranormal things. Ugh. And then Sherman started to go public about what he was seeing. And it started with ranch cattle mutilations, which... Cattle mutilations are a nationwide phenomena that has some really, really weird history to it. That people have just found these mutilated cattle that have given rise to like theories about chupacabra or something. But these mutilations were bizarre. One had a hole drilled into its left eye, like a very precise drilling. One had its like a surgical removal of their rectum cut out, like completely not torn off like a wild animal.
Right.
And the freakiest one, and I think the one reason why these cattle mutilations are important is because a cattle is pretty valuable to a farmer. I think we figured out at one point what.
Yeah, they're expensive.
I think like a cow's worth about $1,000
or so, more.
To a farmer, I think is what the going rate is for. So if you lose $1,000 of livestock, you're going to be like, what the heck happened?
Yeah, where's his butthole? What the hell? That's the best part. Why'd you take it? Could have sold it.
So one day, 7 of his cows disappeared without a trace.
Oh.
Out of trace. And
were they tagged or did they just do a count?
Well, they were tagged, but they were on his ranch. And here's the crazy part. It was snowing that day, so there was a fresh coat of about 2 to 3 inches of snow across the entire ranch. 7 cow footprints walking out into a pasture, and then they just disappear. Mm. No backtracking, no reversing in their footsteps, no cows going. It's just like 7 cows, no tracks, other animal tracks.
Did they stand on their shoulders and then do a big jump?
Could maybe. Yeah. I mean, there are theories. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would be pretty freaked out if I saw 7 cows, like, well, I'm just following their footprints. They got to be here somewhere. And all of a sudden they just stop and they're just gone.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
So then, I mean, I tell you guys, like, that's it. Where's the mutilations? Where's the good stuff?
Well, I'm already freaked out.
Yeah. Well,
I don't do scary things very well. So,
here we go. So it's like to hear the next episode.
He was walking on the ranch one time and he encountered what he called a wolf-like creature with red eyes.
Nope.
Had his rifle fired, like it was so close. He's like, I didn't miss it. The bullets bounced off of it. It didn't like it didn't do anything to it.
Big old wolf.
So then he encountered these beings that spoke in a strange language. He said they spoke in a language I couldn't understand, and their description fit exactly like what I've described as a skinwalker. They were like crouched creatures with a man face and a deformed sort of body, emaciated, but they were speaking to you. You'd hear these voices, these things all over the ranch.
Right.
And he was like, I mean, hats off to him. He sold for a loss, which that's the way to go.
I mean, okay, let me backtrack a bit. So those cows that disappeared, didn't they show up again?
I
think they showed up again in a trailer.
Property. Yeah,
they were all like hypnotized in the trailer, but they're all packed in.
Yeah.
And they were locked from the outside. So like there's no way they could have got in there.
Yeah.
And then they opened the door and they all freaked out and like had to get out of the thing. But they were like paralyzed in there. They basically like zoomed them out of there, then transported them back into this thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean,
there's several books written about this. It's pretty
interesting. There's a lot of stuff written about this. So he sells it $200,000, whether it's for a loss or not. I don't know. I just give the guy credit for just like, screw this.
Yeah. You don't have to tell people it's on it.
Yeah. Like, here you go. Well, Bigelow bought it and he founded the National Institute for Discovery Science. And essentially what that means is that
NIDS.
Yeah.
NIDS. And
I love acronyms.
They have become it's one of the most surveillanced places on Earth. Like they just put cameras everywhere. We're just like, we're going to be constantly watching.
Mm-hmm.
He's a billionaire, which I think if you're a billionaire and you're into like this, I mean, this is a pretty cheap endeavor. He's bringing in like some of the top scientists. I'll pay you to just sit here and monitor seismic activity every day.
I wish a billionaire would just give me a pointless task to do every day for $100,000 a year.
Yes.
A legitimate sugar daddy.
I'll take an illegitimate sugar daddy.
I'll take anything at this point.
It is. I think it's the American dream.
It is.
You know?
Yes.
It's just like,
scoop me up. Yeah. Like
provide
woman.
Nothing beneficial to society. Yep. Get paid while doing it.
That's right.
I don't know if I told you this. I definitely haven't told you, but a friend of mine had this job in Miami, and essentially what it was is these people had figured out how to work the government contract system. And so there were these priorities for certain types of businesses, like African-American owned or female owned or African-American female owned. So they basically had one company that was fulfilling all this contracts, but they had divided it into these other companies that were each fit. Like we need you to basically, because you're an African-American woman, you're going to be the CEO of this company. You don't have to do anything. You just have to come to this office every day. and you know, and they're like, they said that the office was basically like video games and pool tables, and all the different company owners would come in there, and they would just, you get to hang out for like 8 hours a day and do whatever you want, and then you get to leave.
Are you going to be killed because you said this?
No, I don't think so. I think that non-disclosure is it's crazy.
That would be my dream job.
Wouldn't it be just an...
It like, does get boring. I've had jobs where I had nothing to do.
Yeah, but I mean, like, bored. I would... I do that now. Right. Like, imagine knowing I'm getting paid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then you.
Yesterday, I wrote a 5-page essay on discrimination in Survivor because I was bored. Like, I could find ways to appease myself if I'm getting paid.
That's hilarious. So they start surveilling this place, and they have everybody there, and like everybody's like, what the hell is going on here at Skinwalker Ranch? There weird stuff starts to show up on camera. Workers encounter the voices. There's like something is speaking in the dark, and it's talking. That some of that's been caught on film. And then one of the things that I find most interesting is oftentimes when people had an experience with one of these things, they would have strange medical anomalies. Like they would wake up with, one guy said they woke up, bunch of them with the same skin inflammation and all horrifically nauseous. And the doctors came in and they're like, we don't have, to this day, the doctor's like, we have no explanation for what that skin inflammation is.
And they weren't pregnant.
No.
They were nauseous.
They were dudes.
That, you never know.
Weird things. It became well known that the rule number one was to not dig on Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were like, they figured out very quickly, like anyone that digs is in real trouble. One guy started digging and all of a sudden he's like, what is that? And there was a mysterious lump on his head.
Yeah.
And he wakes up like a couple of days later and his skin, his scalp had completely separated from his skull.
Yeah.
Like,
and this is from the show. There's a real campy, kind of crappy TV show about it, which is unfortunate. But it was a guy on the show that had that happen. Yeah. It's great.
One said that they took seismic and infrasonic gauge readings all the time. And the one thing that they have figured out, they're like, there's definitely some sort of focused energy source above and below the property. Like, we're not sure what that energy source is or how it works, but we can find evidence and measure it in a way that we're certain that's going on. They think it might be some interdimensional phenomena.
That's some portal to the other plane. Mm-hmm.
Some technology that they're not aware of.
An open microwave.
It has a lot of microwave type properties to it. Which
I don't understand that reference. I thought you were like making a joke.
Oh, I was.
It's like an open grave.
I was.
Wait a minute. Is that a science?
I was just ending.
He
was
okay. See, I was just like, is this science? I do not understand. Okay.
Well, no, you know what? Here is science that you may not have heard of. Because when I read all that and I thought about the weird skin inflammation and the sudden nausea, it reminded me that there is a syndrome known as Havana syndrome, which U.S. Diplomats have experienced in various locations, and people break out with skin inflammations and nausea and phantom sicknesses and headaches. Mm-hmm. And it's happened so many in sort of focused, targeted people that like first they thought it might be psychosomatic and like, but then it really like, they're like, this is something they call it Havana syndrome because it first happened in the embassy.
But now it's come to the States. It's
come to the States. And they're wondering if it's some sort of emitted microwave technology that allows an enemy to shoot it at people and cause this sort of inflammation and radiation.
And it goes through walls. It goes through everything. And 60 Minutes did a report on this.
Yeah. This is a legit thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I thought of when I thought about these skin inflammations and phantom sicknesses is like, maybe there's some of this magnetic wave stuff going
on. Oh, maybe.
So
like, what would happen if we say, I don't know, we nuked the ranch?
That's probably
probably a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying, like, would that, like, open up, like, a gap
I mean,
who knows? Yeah, man, I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it would be
that's like a portal.
About as irresponsible as what they're doing with the Large Hadron Collider in CERN. Like, we would just be... I don't know. You know what that... You know what this... Oh, that's... Oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. So this is... The large.
I watch a lot of Survivor. That's kind of it.
Well, this is also terrifyingly real. Is that there's a I guess it's a laboratory in Switzerland called CERN, which has the largest machine ever built that we know of. It's a massive underground tunnel.
Yeah, it's a circle
tunnel. It's a tube. Yeah. It's massive. I mean, like, I think you could fit several football fields in the middle of it. So it's...
Oh, wow.
And they shoot at rapid speeds matter and collide particles, and then they can capture energy, and they've created black holes, and they've found antimatter, and they've found dark matter. And
what?
They're mucking. And people are like, you have no clue what the consequences. Yeah. I mean, it's literally like if you built the first gun and we're like, hey, let me just try to shoot you and see what happens. Like, people are like, what are you doing? You have no idea.
Yeah. Wait, if you make a black hole, how do you like...
Tiny black hole.
Yeah, yeah.
They've made lots of them. And then we don't know what kind of weapon they could make, if they could rip a hole in the dimensional fabric of space and
have
time.
Have they tilted us into a... alt-right reality we lived in for a while.
Yeah, no, people are like, that's what Mandela effect is. It's like, as soon as Hadron got turned on, we started having all these weird symptoms, and they're like, that's just all that's happened, is we're in an alternate timeline right now.
Okay. So that makes the benign thinking of like, how is Fruit Loop spelled?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Much more serious than I thought it was.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, CERN.
CERN. Yeah. Yeah. And I think nuking a place like Skinwalker Ranch.
What I'm saying is, if you can't dig, I'm like, what would the repercussions be of just like,
sure.
Yeah.
And what you said, portals a few times, and there are reports of people using infrared, binoculars, whatever, and they've seen portals open, things come out. There's a new book that just came out called Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, and it's by the guy who first reported on this story, and he talks about how people in the government know about this craziness.
I think what's very interesting to me, and this what I'm about to say was something that's old, not old like 5 years old, is that one guy said, we start to think that it's maybe even some sort of sentient, precognitive, non-human intelligence. And, you know, when he said that, that was just sort of sounded like a word jumble, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like he just said something that no one understands. Well, interestingly enough, since that time, in the last couple of years, during the pandemic, the Department of Defense largely said, like, yeah, we have known about some unidentified flying objects for a long time. We're not sure what they are, right? Mm-hmm. And the most recent theory that Department of Defense workers have leaked is that we think it might be some sort of precognitive non-human intelligence. It seems to anticipate where our planes are going. It seems interested in them, but it does not seem human. So it's some sort of intelligent life. Mm-hmm.
See, this was my fear coming onto this podcast.
I'm sorry.
I'm like,
ripped your world open. We're sorry.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I don't know.
And now I have to say, yes, I believe in this.
I spent time on TikTok when I could be learning about the world.
I know. Attention, listeners. Are you ready to be blown away? You asked for it and they listened. Our friends at Manscaped just relaunched the Ultra Smooth Package. It's back, baby. Your new favorite tool and complement to the Lawnmower 4.0 to keep your boys smooth while looking and feeling their best. Their specialized groin shaving kit is here to help you buff, protect, and shave your most sensitive areas. It's time to crop that bush of yours and get right to the roots with a discount just for you from Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with the code CBM20. The legends who introduced their electric ball hair trimmer are bringing back the razor so you can be set and trimmed front to back. Men, you no longer have to borrow your lady's razor for that precise trim. You guys know how hard it is to shave down there and get real close and not have cuts and stuff. We've all lost a ball or two shaving. Step one, grab your handy Lawnmower 4.0 and give your boys the classic trim to your liking and get those loose hairs out of the way. And then take out the Manscaped Ultra Smooth Package to make your package the perfect package this summer. Step two, crop exfoliator, infused with ingredients that can soothe, clear, and keep the skin on and around your groin feeling refreshed, the crop exfoliator can help reduce the risk of ingrown hairs in your delicate places. Step three, crop gel. See where you're shaving with our unique clear shaving gel just for the groin. With four essential oils, it's like a spa treatment every time you shave. Step four, time to shave. The Crop Shaver was designed for shaving the groin area with confidence. Three precision blades include extra wide lubricating strips and a pivoting head for the ultimate groin grooming experience. The Crop Shaver is not your average razor. It's smaller, thicker, with a micro comb bar that allows for the best shave possible from any angle. Beach balls are meant to be smooth, and now yours can be. All three of these vegan, cruelty-free, and sulfate-free free products are included, so you know your manhood is in good hands without the compromise. It's time to get up close and personal with the best tools for the job, the Ultra Smooth Package from Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CBM20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with code CBM20 at manscaped.com. Smooth out your fellas with the relaunched Ultra Smooth Package from the fellas at Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
It is interesting to me that, and I guess this does get into the Tesla thing. I mean, if Elon Musk loves to play in this world, I mean, he, like him or not, he has been someone who has been adamant that we are not sure what we've created in terms of sentient artificial intelligence. He has been someone who said we need to pump the brakes, convene ethical committees, and really think seriously about how fast we go. But
as he said that, he put brains in pigs.
Yeah, this is true.
And tried to buy Twitter. There's bigger fish to fry.
There are. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but him saying these things would also be the perfect cover if he has been in cahoots developing or working with these things, right?
He seems like a cahooter.
Yeah, he seems like.
What if he is a precog?
Minority Report.
That's what it is.
He has a precog weirdness to him. Mm-hmm.
Like he has a vibe for sure.
Yeah. But maybe, you know, when Elon Musk sets his self-driving cars out to drive all over the country, maybe they do come back and they're like, these things are picking up some weird animal object. Oh, and that's, I mean, that might have some. Maybe he did run them over, and that's how he's known about him. And he's
there's wolves all over the country, invisible. I mean, smoke wolves, and I've killed them all with my cars.
I would not, if any of this. Well, some of this is definitely true. Some of it's speculation, but if the speculation is true, I think all bets are off. You know what I mean? Where you're just like, I don't believe anything. If somebody comes out and says, yes, there are skinwalkers on Skinwalker Ranch, we've known about them, we're not sure if they're benevolent or evil, so we're trying to figure out how to deal with these or what exactly they are, where they come from, but they're real, then I'm just like, okay, why wouldn't you tell us that sooner?
Well, because it freaks people out. I mean, look at Ryan. He can't.
I mean, you know, my mouth has been agape like this entire podcast. I mean, on one hand, I do understand the ethical dilemma of like, we don't create a panic. But on the other hand, like, there's the responsibility of letting people like, I mean, but at one point, like, do we defend ourselves? Like, how, like,
right.
Yeah, that's
how
been,
do,
that's yeah,
how
been
do you shoot
up
an invisible wolf?
I mean, at this point, I feel like I need to learn some sort of like witchcraft to form like Doctor Strange stuff and like just like make my fingers around and like make little portals and barriers and things. I should be investing my time into that instead of a discriminatory bias on a reality TV show.
That's probably, you never know. You probably do both, you know, one may inform the other. You don't know.
This is fair.
Well, you know, another part of it, which I think is interesting, if we talk about if it's some sort of energy related phenomena, is that like sound and electricity and Bluetooth type things have a notorious malfunctioning problem in Skinwalker Ranch. Like, so this thing, like, you know, like nowadays you control drones with phone apps and stuff. They're Bluetooth connected and it'll be working fine. And there's spots where they've taken reporters and they've been like, watch, see how it's working. It's working. Now we're going to get here. Doesn't work.
Wow.
And like, you can't get anything to connect here. Sounds get jarred. If I send you a voice message in this zone, you get it. And it's just like,
yeah, that's creepy.
Like just like all this sort of weird electronic anomalies. And then here's the weirdest one. It's one of the guys that worked there. They were always trying to fly a drone in this area because it was a hotbed for activity. Never could get a drone to connect. And he's like, what if we, and this is on video, by the way, like, what if we ask for permission? And it's like, can we please fly our drone? The drone just connects immediately and they can fly it because they ask permission.
Absolutely not.
Dude.
I feel like I've said that like all the time. No, I'm out.
I wonder if that's why I'm having trouble connecting my computer to my speaker sometimes. Because my ghost is like, I
don't want
to
hear that.
I'm like, can I at least listen to my record player?
Ask next time. I will. Time I'm going to ask.
Yeah. I'm supposed to ask the universe.
Because if it's the thing of like, you don't summon them, maybe you summon them, but with a little put a little respect politely on my name.
Right. Yeah. I'm not even going to politely summon a demon.
Dear not. Sir, please come to my quinceañera. I want it to be a great time.
Well, what? Here are some theories, Ryan, to help at least some degree.
Yeah, like is there like salt circles or like what do I do?
Well, here's what.
Do you know about the salt circle at Goodnight's?
No.
So behind Goodnight's there's a manhole, and it's like always roaches coming out of there constantly.
Goodnight's, by the way, for those listening, is a local club.
But they would draw a pentagram salt circle on it, and all the roaches would stay underground because they don't like salt.
But the pentagram.
Pentagram too. Yeah, that helps.
So did they ever try with any other shape or is it really just
the salt? Well, it's just the circle of salt, really. But the pentagram makes it fun.
Oh, that, okay. Yeah. Well, here are some theories. Some of them are one is that we've talked a lot about in the show. I start more and more to think that this is probably real, is what we call a thin place. A thin place. The idea that we live in a multidimensional universe, and those dimensions are very close to one another. That's not really a space thing like we think of it, but they're there, right? Sometimes those things will, through some gravity, right, some kind of event or something, just get kind of bumped into each other, and those dimensions go back and forth. That's a big theory for what, yeah, like maybe ghost could be, right? Is that somewhere there's these thin places where you're seeing it, the time and are sort of blurred a bit.
Yeah. Like imagine a hole in your sock and your heels touching your sneaker for the first time. Like,
yeah. And so when you see a ghost, the ghost is also seeing you, right? So, cause you're just this.
Do they get scared of snakes?
I think
that's
so.
Why they scream and yell.
Yeah. I'm like, this woman keeps screaming.
Yeah. That's what, yeah.
She's just scared.
Right. That's why, you know, the only way to kind of assuage a ghost is to sort of make friends with it. Be like,
yeah,
I'll live with you. You got to live with me and we'll get along.
Yeah. There are people out there befriending ghosts.
I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure. I know people that lived in haunted houses that were like, yeah, we have a ghost and we're just
doing it.
Sometimes you have to say quiet, Norm, and they'll stop whatever they're banging.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, my cousin's kid stayed in an old Victorian place.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And when she saw the place, the woman showed him the rooms. There's two rooms at the top of the stairs. And she's like, this is your room. And then she goes in the other room and the mirror had been flipped on the fireplace and stuff was all messed up. She goes, don't come in here. This is the ghost room, whatever. It's not going to be a problem. Anyway, he stays there and he's downstairs one night in the kitchen and he sees a woman in Victorian garb walk down the stairs and into the living room and he sees her shadow moving on the wall and his dogs are flipping out. And he just like ran out of the house and then came back later and just got really drunk and passed out.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. What a wild thing.
Well, that could be a thin place.
Yeah.
Could it be something related to interdimensional travel? Where if that Navajo mythology about the creators of this world who brought helpers with them, what if some of those helpers did get stranded because of some ancient alien involvement in our world?
Okay. I did see a TikTok similar to this, like, concept of like thin places and like tears. And one girl asked these like scientists about time travel. Mm-hmm. And she said, if time travel is real, why hasn't someone from the future come back to visit us? Mm-hmm. And she said, probably, she's like, who's to say what they hasn't, but also it probably there's a code of moral ethics that means you can't go in the past, but you can go to the future.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
And so that might fit into this thing where like a skinwalker could come from the past to the future, but we can't go back to tell someone, hey, like, because like the moral code of the universe is you can't go back to tell people. Because she's like, why can't someone from the future just tell us how to make time machines so then we can make them now? It's like the moral code of the universe says you can't, but you can go forward in time.
Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. And this whole dimensional theory oftentimes says time is just a human construct that we're stuck with here. So really everything's happening at the same time.
Everything is happening.
You just have
everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah,
great
yeah.
Movie.
Loved it.
Yeah. Loved that movie.
What movie is that?
Everything everywhere.
I haven't watched it yet. That new one, yeah.
It's great.
So I was like, that sounds like
loved
a title.
It. Saw it with my daughter.
Yeah, people were saying
cried.
It's great.
We laughed.
I loved it.
Awesome. So good. Boy, now we're just a movie review podcast.
Yeah, love it. Check it out. For
in this other dimension, we run this.
Because like with her, like, spoiler alert, multiverse plot.
God.
But like with her, like, experiencing like different timelines, but then they were able to inform her current time.
Oh, that's cool.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I guess I start to think that that's the best explanation for even like this picture, is that
either because of LIDAR technology or whatever, she took a photograph of a moment in time where two dimensions were sort of visible to the camera and the lens, but it's probably in that way happening all the time, every day. It's just, it's happening right here, right now. We just don't have we don't have the access point to see
why
it.
Can't we process that?
Well, I think that it probably has to do with limitations on our eyes and our sight.
It's a biological thing for sure.
Like in some sense, our eyes allow us to see this reality, but not see.
Like we've evolved to realize we don't need to have that in our lives. I don't need those shadow wolves. I don't need to see those.
So do you think like itty bitty babies see beyond?
I think many people have seen. I think that's why. Cultures have talked about the third eye and how the eye could see, you know, it's almost like that Matrix-esque moment where everything turns, you know, green. He can see the bytecode. It's like people have opened their minds. People can experience it on DMT or certain psychedelic drugs, which seem to give people.
Where they can like see sounds and like taste colors and stuff.
Yeah. Synesthesia.
Yeah. So I think, and I don't know, we talk a lot about reincarnation here, but I don't know if that, we will gain access to that after in another life or in some sort of weird way. But I do think that we're constrained to some degree from seeing that reality here.
Yeah. Interesting.
And then there are places that for whatever reason, because of energy sources or magnetism or something, that we can see it or see it more often or experience like a something that moves because of some weird force from another dimension. And we're like, what just moved that? Or
like when the fridge randomly opens and you're like,
my toaster screams. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. But I think those are I look at the picture of this and I just think what I said to begin with, that at some point we're going to get incontrovertible proof that this stuff is out there. I think it's one reason why the government is sort of trying to control the dissemination so they can sort of control the message of how it's perceived to prevent panic. But I do think it's a matter of time before, you know, there is absolutely incontrovertible proof that we have to say, okay, what is that? Yeah. Is it dangerous? Do we need to change our lives? So I think that's sort of my final thought is that this stuff is, by the way, Robert Bigelow sold the ranch. He also, interestingly enough, and maybe most compelling for the non-human precognitive intelligence, is that he is heavily involved in the UAP research phenomena as well, which is the unidentified flying objects, are now called UAPs.
Yeah. Oh. Pilots used to have to report their UFO sightings to Bigelow Aerospace.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's a really interesting thing, and it all kicked off with this article in, was it 2017? What was the
2017.
Year? 2017, the New York Times article came out and it kind of revealed a lot of information.
Wait, UAP, what does that stand for?
Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon.
Oh.
Phenomena,
Phenomena.
Or aquatic. Unidentified aerial or aquatic phenomena.
Yeah, because they see these things underwater.
Yeah, so it's a, yes.
They think they might be underwater all the time.
Oh.
Yeah, they tend to go in and out of the water. And like hundreds of Navy pilots have reported these things. They're just like, I don't know what I'm seeing, but it just went underwater and it still hasn't slowed down and it's going faster than I can go.
Yeah, it's crazy. So this whole thing, he called it a Tic Tac. He said it looked like a Tic Tac, this UFO or whatever. There's a new video on YouTube where a guy described seeing the Tic Tac like years prior, and he described it and even did a 3D model of it, and it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And those are what their most compelling evidence. And I just think that some of this is just going to come out because it's just, you can't just be filming the world every day.
No, not see something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give my final thought and then it's you, Ryan, you got this after me. I think, what's that thing called? The Xbox Kinect. Do you know about that? So Xbox had this device that allowed it to track your movements for
little
games.
Scanner.
Yeah, it was like a scanner. And I don't know if it used LiDAR or what it used, or if it was infrared, but they stopped selling them.
I think
a lot of people didn't buy them, but people were reporting getting other people's like body movements.
I forgot about
that. Didn't exist. They'd see like someone walk into the frame that wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Are video games not a safe space?
I guess not.
What?
What? You telling me they're not? And then the other one was the, I think it was a baby. It was a baby heat camera. And so they set this up for babies in cribs, but they started seeing like other people around the crib. Like spirits were coming to say hi to the new baby. Like it was creepy as shit. They stopped making both of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, another example that is like, not as paranormal, but Sony came out with a camera in like the late 90s that had infrared mode on it. And like, they realized very quickly that this saw through everyone's swimsuit at the beach. And so like, they had to stop selling that camera because they're like, oh, we can see through people's clothes with this camera.
I didn't figure that out sooner.
Yeah. You think they would, or they're like, this will be
what
fun.
A moral staff.
I know. Right. Yeah.
I mean, that just seems like,
yeah, it was crazy. I bet those sell for a lot now. There's probably tons of pervs out there that buy a camera like that.
Well, so
no money.
I had forgotten, and again, it's just the more our technology sophisticates, the more of this stuff we see, right? And I think if you just ultra like infrared your whole house or whatever.
Well, I think it's defining things, right? I think stuff doesn't exist in our worlds until we define it. And it's like, I think there's this, this is an article that went around for a while, but it's the Amazon tribe or something like that, that didn't have a color. They never saw blue or something like that. I can't remember what the whole story was, but they never saw blue until it was described to them, or they didn't see like certain colors until they were defined for them. They're like, what color is water? And like, water used to be described as the color of wine back in the day.
Oh, interesting.
And then finally people are like, oh, that's actually blue. That's a different color. So until you define it, it's not a thing. So now that we're defining UFOs and we have the technology to like measure and start putting stats on things, we're like, oh, that's actually different than what we know.
Okay. You know what? I had never, go ahead.
I was going to say that reminds me, I think I saw that video on Vox.
Oh, where
it was like
probably
explaining like the etymology of like colors and like how different cultures have like different base colors. Yes. And
thank
like,
you for remembering the reference.
It was a Vox video. I remember watching about that. That's fascinating.
It is. Continue. It's really cool.
Well, you know, one of the things that, we've poked around, and now this starts to make sense too, is that when Christopher Columbus sailed across the Atlantic,
Ocean Blue,
at 1492, and he came to the
ocean, blood, red wine,
essentially the Caribbean. There are reports that he wrote down in his journal and stuff that the natives didn't understand what they were seeing until like men came off the boat. And then started to like, they didn't know what it was.
They know a ship
like
this.
They were like, we didn't know what it was because we'd never seen a ship like that before. And then we didn't know what those men were because we had never seen men like that before. Like, and to some degree, like, you know, they must have thought these are something from a different world, not realizing that they just live across the ocean. Right. We just never knew there was another ocean. And these could very well just be like, we've been here a long time. We just couldn't figure out how to get to you.
Yeah.
And now we have explorers who are coming somehow to the surface or through the dimensional portal. And we're seeing the beginnings of another invasion of a higher terrestrial. I'm not implying that Europeans were higher intelligence. I'm just saying a technology that's different and more dangerous in some regard.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get really crazy, what if the coronavirus was the first wave of like the smallpox that,
well, we beat it.
Yeah.
Thanks, science.
It's over.
Yep.
You know, but what if we're seeing just an invasion of another species that's lived here all along and it's just now figuring out how to get across the Atlantic to the surface or something.
Oh dear.
Well, that's my new final thought.
Okay, well, what's your final thought, Ryan? Yeah.
Oh, God, what have I done? I am lost, but also, like, I'm already, like, a paranoid person. And I was like, oh, great, this is going to add to it. I always believed that there was something else to the world, universe, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like growing up, I always was like assuming like at some point I'm going to get to see my life in all its iterations.
Yeah.
Where like, what if I would have chose to do like I had the very Zac Efron High School Musical moment in high school where I'd lost a bunch of weight and I was really good at basketball. And the basketball coach was like, my senior year was like, hey, like really excited about me playing. And then the drama teacher was like, hey, like we were planning on you being the lead. So like I picked theater and I ended up becoming a theater teacher.
Yes.
And then like now stand up comedian. And I went the entertainment route, but I'm like, what, how different would my life have been had I made that one choice? Even if it means I didn't go professional in basketball, like what would my other branch of life had been?
Right.
And like leaving Mormonism, I was like, okay, like what would my life had looked like had I stayed? And I think with this like interdimensional tear, like, or whatever, like not related to necessarily the Skinwalkers type, but just like the whole fabric of the universe, I feel like I'm gonna see all the iterations of my life. Right. The Skinwalkers are like a terrifying side note and tangent.
What if I was a Skinwalker?
Oh no, I do not like that. But just like that concept, I can totally get behind. And I just wonder like, when does it get revealed? Like if these things like are real, like the UFOs that live under the water and like all these things.
Right.
And I just, I don't know. I'm fascinated by this sort of stuff, but I don't go on a deep dive because I'm the, like an all or nothing type person. Right. And I know that like it will become everything for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, Skinwalkers, terrifying.
Terrifying.
The concept of seeing, like, the concept of, like, an interdimensional portal where my life is different, fascinating and very intrigued by.
Okay.
Well, I think that's a great final thought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, this has been a really fun episode. Yeah. It's a lot of ways.
Yeah, and we are going to open your eyes next episode because we're all doing DMT beforehand, and that's how you get a good reality dose of all the machine elves and all the weird shit that exists around us.
We are very excited to have the next one. We're going to have Ryan back for another episode. It's much more fun.
Oh, good.
Light and scary. It's another up your wheel.
Please tell me it's about Teletubbies.
Oh, there is a Teletubby conspiracy.
Shut the front door.
Yes. Yeah. In any case, it was fun. Where can people find you, follow you? What are you doing these days?
I just do stand-up. I got my summer tour coming up. It's called A Summer of Sass.
Nice.
And I'll be in cities like Boston, Salt Lake, Chattanooga, San Francisco, Dallas, Austin, Newport News, San Diego. I'm going to be all over the place.
All big cities. That's good.
Newport News, Chattanooga, maybe not so much, but everything else, and then a few more cities I'm waiting to hear back from. But Instagram, at Rye Irwin, and I'm also on TikTok.
Yes, you are.
And I hate TikTok, but I...
You have a ton of followers, though.
I try and post three times. I have like 83,000.
Yeah, that's...
Like, it's exhausting, I cannot wait for the day I quit comedy when I can just delete my TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
That's the dream.
Yeah. Oh. We talk about that a lot, how like comedy is not about comedy. It's about putting yourself out there on every platform and managing a brand. It's like, that's not why I want to do this.
Well, I'm going to do a TikTok about this tomorrow
because
I want to get this video out on TikTok.
Okay.
So
cool. See.
So if you like our TikTok, you can follow us.
Yeah. Follow us.
Or you can see it tomorrow. So
yeah.
All right. Well, look, this has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I am still Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith. And this was
Ryan Irwin.
Thanks, everybody. Peace. Awesome.